When you hear someone give a testimony, you have the opportunity to cross over that line, that border that keeps people at a distance, to come into an inner circle of family and friends. Giving a testimony can make a person vulnerable. What will they think of me? Will they think less of me for my weakness? How much can I really reveal about who I am inside? Well, it's taken several arm wrestling matches with God before I agreed to do this. I'd get right to about here and think that I was winning, and he'd put a drop of his power into it, and boom, down I go and say, okay, I'll do this. 5, 10, 20 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do this, not because speaking in public is hard, but because I lacked the acceptance of what I'm going to tell you about. I know that everyone has strengths and weaknesses, and that that's normal, but it seems that the weakness that I struggle with has been a really big challenge for me to tackle. Back in my 30s, when I was I first heard about and was tested positive for ADD, this explained a lot. The poor memory, the lack of paying attention to anything, whether it was in the classroom, when I was young, or at church during the sermon, in study hall getting ready for a test, in a social setting, just listening and talking with my peers. It explained all of the wandering thoughts and actions that sometimes go racing like a runaway locomotive. Initially, it was such a relief to have this defined. It was a comfort to know that other people live with it too, that I wasn't alone. But unfortunately, even though it explained a lot of things and helped me understand myself, it really didn't bring me any closer to welcoming this very big part of myself. So now to fast forward about 20 years, and I'm in my 50s. One day I was talking to a good friend, and she was talking about how her son, who has ADD, also has a processing information problem. The more she described it, I realized that's me. That's exactly what it's like for me. Well, this is the part that is the hardest to share and why I had to do all of the arm wrestling with God. I've been wondering, how real do I make this? How much do I reveal about this world that's inside my brain? So this processing information, following a logical train of thought, making sense of new information that's introduced, understanding what someone is saying in a social setting, a social group of people just casually talking and laughing, watching the news, listening to a podcast, reading the paper, watching a movie, it all takes a concerted effort to follow along, to follow and process the information. Some people have all of those brain cells, all of those neurons just firing fast, making instant connections. They comprehend it. They get it right away. I married one of those types. And then there are others that need more time, and I'm one of them. When I make a blunder, when I get something mixed up, it's like this. It's like at an intersection where there's a jumble of traffic because the stoplight isn't working. And so thoughts are just kind of going every which way. And this doesn't happen all the time, thank goodness, but when it does, I usually fall and do a face plant into anger. I usually get angry at myself for not figuring it out faster, sometimes at someone else, but mostly my anger is at God. Why did you make me this way? I don't like it. I don't want it. The embarrassment all but consumes me at times. And I throw up my hands in anger. I say, I give up. I don't care. I'm never going to change. So that's my story. Now I'd like to talk to you about the good stuff. I'd like to talk about Christ. I know that God allows challenging and hard things to happen to his children. He has both seen and unseen reasons for why he allows things to happen. Those reasons are much bigger than our problems. And it really pleases him when we grow farther on and farther up in our walk in faith. For me, this challenging mountain to climb is acceptance. But now, more than ever in my life, I really believe that it is that it is becoming a reality. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to stand here and talk about it. I'm totally convinced that Christ is right here, always right next to me, right beside me at every moment. Through the power of the sweet Holy Spirit, I imagine his smile, his loving gaze, his arms outstretched, his eyes as brilliant as sparkling gems. I can hear his voice that's so gentle and so kind. I'd like to read a couple Bible verses. This is from 2 Corinthians 12. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us. It's Jesus that can sympathize, or I like to think of the word empathize, with our weaknesses. When he hung on the cross, he had the weight of all of that sin, all of the yuck feelings that I've ever had. Not because he did anything wrong, but because he took the penalty for my sin. What was it like for him to carry this load? And not only, and this is my thoughts, something that I had read a while ago, and this is something I think this is very interesting. Not only the ugliness of sin, but also the ramifications of being born with a lacking condition of the mind or a physical deformity. Is it a sin to have ADD? No. Or any other condition? I don't think so. But what we do in response to something that happens to us that's beyond our control could become sin if we let it. The regrets, the guilt, the low self-esteem, the embarrassment, the shame, the after effects. Did Christ feel these burdensome emotions as well? Did Christ know how it feels to have ADD when he hung there on the cross? And if that's so, when I've had a hard time, when I fall down and I get angry and I want to throw my hands up and I'm so angry at him because he didn't make me perfect, is he right there beside me with his eyes of compassion just searing through all of those emotions, getting into my heart and my mind and breaking through the walls around me as he said, it's okay, sweetheart. There's no one that can relate to what you've gone through like I do. I felt it. There's a couple things I want to read out of this book. It's called Gentle and Lowly. It's a really good book. The reason that Jesus is in such close solidarity with us is that the difficult path we are on is not unique to us. He has journeyed on it himself. It is not only that Jesus can relieve us from our troubles, like a doctor prescribing medicine. It is also that before any relief comes, he is with us in our troubles, like a doctor who has endured the same disease. He knows what it is like to be thirsty, hungry, despised, lonely, rejected, scorned, shamed, embarrassed, tortured, killed, suffocated, and yet all without sin. All of our weaknesses, indeed all of our life, is tainted with sin. Not so with Jesus. He had no sin. He was holy, innocent, unstained. So that enticing temptation, that sore trial, that bewildering perplexity, he's been there. He understands. And yet to ponder this in a way that maintains his sinlessness. So look to Christ. He deals gently with you. It's the only way he knows how to be. He is the high priest to end all high priests. As long as you fix your attention on your sin, you will not see the embrace of Christ standing right before you, keeping you safe. But as long as you look to this high priest, you can anticipate his gentleness. Some synonyms for the word empathize are to understand, comprehend, imagine sameness, feel for, share, relate to open oneself, to put oneself in another's place, identify with, to feel as one. And a couple more Bible verses. Matthew 11, from 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Hebrews 12, last one. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And this author took that one phrase, who for the joy set before him, and he wrote a whole chapter on it. And here he quotes English theologian Thomas Goodwin. Christ's own joy, comfort, happiness, and joy are increased as his children come to have the purchase of his death more and more laid forth on them. So as when their sins are pardoned, their hearts are sanctified, and their spirits comforted, then he comes to see the fruit of his labor. And he himself is comforted, therefore, for he has all the more glorified by it. Yes, he is much more pleased and rejoiced in this than even they themselves can be. And one last thought out of here. And if the actions of Jesus are reflective of who he most deeply is, we cannot avoid the conclusion that it is the very fallenness which he came to undo that is most irresistibly attractive to him. That he came to undo the fallenness. I've always thought before that it was the undoing of my fallenness that was the answer. That someday when I no longer got mad and no longer found myself getting into a bad mood and up a creek because of my irritability, that would be the real victory. That it was gone, it was done. It'd be proof that I had grown spiritually. But now I think maybe it's the process of undoing that really matters. That it's going through this process with Christ in all of my weak moments. And the only requirement is coming to him time and time again until that day that I'm with him in paradise. I'm still the same person. I haven't found any quick fix for this runaway freight train mind that sometimes gets me in a pickle. There will continue to be up and down times, falling, standing, walking, running, times when I overfixate on my mistakes and other times when I let it roll off my back. But I do know this. I do know that the times of hurting don't last as long as they used to. I find myself back in the game again. Gradually freedom comes as I'm learning to say, it's all right when I'm down, as long as I choose to go to him. And I can hear him say, it's okay. It's okay, sweetheart. You'll stand again. We'll stand again. We will beat this together, you and I. And I get wrapped up in his loving embrace, where the hurt turns to a peace and joy that I don't know if I can really find words to describe. And to think that Christ's own joy and happiness are increased by him showing me grace and mercy. And by the way, I found that when I do keep my mind on Christ, that the mistakes, the information that's presented to me, it does get much better. I'd like to end with a story. Something that happened to me a few years ago, and it is a game changer for me. I call it Jesus at the Fence. In 2013, I had the privilege of taking my niece, Brooke, to Switzerland. It was an amazing trip. We had some of the best memories from that trip. We were staying in a very picturesque little village that was way up in the Alps. You can only get there by taking a train because there were no roads. Well, one morning I was out for a walk, and eventually I came to a really nice spot. I sat down on the bench where I could enjoy the mountains and the waterfalls beyond the valley below. And as I was sitting there enjoying the view, a cat walked up and sat down beside me. And as I was petting it, I thought how content he is, just purring it quietly. And I said out loud, "You're so easy to please." And immediately in my mind, right there in front of me, I could see Christ standing there. He was just leaning against this wooden fence, just like this, just looking at me. And he said, "So am I." I call this Jesus at the fence because it was a very pivotal point in my life. It has taught me that not everyone is alike. I've tried all my life to fit into the way of learning, even in my Christian walk, in the way Christians learn. I've told myself that I really need to do more, read my Bible more, listen more intently to the sermon. Before Switzerland, I used to get frustrated and condemn myself for not absorbing more out of the Bible studies that I did partake in. If I'm not paying attention, that must mean that I don't care, that I don't want to grow. I believe that the Holy Spirit broke through all of those barriers to growing with him. Now I open my Bible often. I love reading it, reading and rereading some of those golden nuggets of truth, just to get it solid in my mind and in my heart, and for it to be a part of my day, and to make a new habit and change and become part of my nature. And each time it's a sweet new freshness, like a fragrant incense of his easy to please nature. I had no idea that growing with him could be so fun, so easy. He really is easy to please. So thank you for listening to my story.